I've just been to the mouth of the Murray today and the Coorong and spoke with the traditional owners there. And I can't tell you how the depth of the grieving going on in Indigenous communities as they sit and watch the land to which they are so connected be continually degraded, not only by climate change, but all the other human activities that are contributing to loss of species. And you can just hear in their voices their not only love of country, but sheer frustration, almost giving up hope that it can ever be any different. And so when we talk about acknowledging traditional people and talk about aspirations for reconciliation, if we don't act on climate change, then we might as well just talk hot air. That's the fact of the matter when we talk about that kind of acknowledgement. Now, I'm here tonight to say that it's a pretty bleak situation we are now in. If you look at any of the scientific reports at the moment, they will tell you that scientists are fudging around the question of whether we can, in fact, constrain global warming to less than 2 degrees. Most scientists will tell you, off the record, that they think we're already beyond it. And now the question is, how far is the overshoot and is it going to be possible to come back? That is what they say behind the scenes, but they don't say it up front because they're afraid of alarming people and afraid of being attacked by the vested interests that essentially own the media, and in this country that's the Murdoch press overwhelmingly in terms of the daily papers. So the issue, I think the first thing we have to do if we're serious about the climate science is to stop pretending that we have got time. We have to actually call this and say we've run out of time. This is an emergency. We have no more time. We have to get on with it and we have to reduce emissions. But not only do we have to reduce emissions, we have to actually save, as has just been said by the last speaker, we have to stop further losses to atmosphere from deforestation, from further mining activities and so on, particularly in the fossil fuel sector. So this is a really important thing, to recognise the science is clear, but the scientific message is not getting out there. And one of the things that we have to do, in my view, is to name the scale of the problem. Name the fact that the global commitments to constraining global warming to less than 2 degrees in international treaty, or not treaties, but agreements at the moment, the gap is in the range of 6 to 11 gigatons. There is nowhere near anything like what they say they're going to try to achieve. We have to personalise the impacts. Everybody has been pussyfooting around the fact that when we have an extreme weather event like Cyclone Yasi, when we have extreme weather events like the fires in Victoria, like the heat waves that killed people in Adelaide and in Melbourne, when we have the flooding events and so on, because there is such pushback of saying, oh, you can't be sure that it's climate related and so people back off it, that has been a major loss of momentum in the campaign around Australia, that we've failed to name the connection. And it's got to be named. And we've got to get on the radio and we've got to say so. And when they push back and say, but you can't say that, well, the scientific reports are actually coming out saying it all the time. It's a question of intensity. That's what it's about, and it's very clear, and we've got to get out there and name it for what it is. But we've also got to name the problems, and certainly the massive expansion in coal mining and coal seam gas is one of the major big problems, and it is absolutely true that the massive expansion, the investment in that infrastructure, the new ports that are going to be built along the Queensland coast, the 10,000 coal ships that are going to go up through the Barrier Reef are all a major part of the problem. And one of the reasons why the government struggles so much with this is that they are so internally conflicted. On the one hand, they're there standing by the clean energy package that we developed, and on the other, they're busy rushing up there and opening more coal mines, more coal seam gas operations than you can possibly poke a stick at. And what is the possible justification? at the end of the fossil fuel age, at a time when we're in a climate emergency, for opening new coal mines, expanding existing coal mines, and developing a whole new fossil fuel industry around coal seam gas. It is madness, it is contrary to the science, and we need to stand there with the communities who are opposing these things and say, we agree, but we need to point the finger and say it is not enough on the one hand to say we are committed to keeping global warming to less than 2 degrees whilst at the same time driving it. And that means a campaign in Batman is essential at the next federal election. If we're going to name this, we need to name it properly. But we also need to look at the economic narrative, and that's something I've been talking about since I took over the leadership, and it is absolutely true. Ashok Kosler said this to me some years ago. He's a current president of IUCN, but he was one of the Club of Rome, still is. And he said to me, look, it's very simple. There are only two real things in the world, and that's people and nature. Effectively, they're the same, but for the point of argument, two real things in the world, people and nature. Economics was the tool that was meant to govern the relationship between people and nature so that they were both sustained. And what happened is that message came out of the Brundtland Commission. It was then fed straight into the World Bank, and it came out as a triangle with economics, society, and environment. And thereafter, economics and society traded off environment. It was never meant to be like that. Economics is meant to be the tool that governs the relationship. It is a dysfunctional tool. It needs recalibration. And I think one of the campaigns we need to start running is, how are we going to change the economic tool so we get genuine progress indicators which take into account survival, intergenerational equity, health, happiness, all those things that people actually value, as opposed to GDP, which measures everything from oil spills and car accidents and everything else. So we need to actually take this on. The economics campaign is just as important in many ways in reframing the debate as the other parts of the campaign. In terms of where to from carbon pricing, yes, we've got the carbon price, we've got the Carbon Farming Initiative and the Biodiversity Fund, we've got the energy efficiency initiatives, and we've got the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. And just to respond to whether Tony Abbott can repeal it or not, we have got, it will be written in the legislation in a way that says that not only is this the investment mandate for the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, but the actual budget allocation will be put through the Parliament as part of legislation, so it can only be repealed by putting a bill through both houses of Parliament. It is not set up as a regulatory measure, and so that means that the 2013 election becomes critical in terms of maintaining the gains that we have made. And essentially, where to from the carbon price is get on the road, get out there. We need to actually be campaigning every day now for 2013, because it is not only about maintaining the carbon price and all the initiatives that go with it, as I said, but it's also about the Climate Change Authority. Now, we set that up for good reason, because we knew that the political process in Australia was incapable of achieving the level of ambition of emissions reduction necessary to actually deal with the crisis. In early 2014, the Climate Change Authority will recommend the trajectory of emission cuts that are consistent with achieving what is necessary, and there is now an 80% target to 2050. It should be 100%. We should be net carbon zero by 2050, but nevertheless, 80% is what's there. The Climate Change Authority will put out the trajectory of how we're to meet that. And as John Hewson said earlier, we have to go hard up front. We can't back end it, because the costs of doing that are enormous. You'll end up with massive dislocation in the end if you are to leave it to the end. So the climate that we need to now be campaigning for a level of ambition consistent with what is necessary to enable the Climate Authority in early 2014. It's an independent authority, but it needs to have a mega public campaign behind it so it feels empowered and enabled to make the kinds of recommendations it needs on emission cuts. So I can't stress enough the need to start campaigning now for upward levels of ambition at every level. Second half of this year, there's going to be a review of the renewable energy target. I don't have to tell you what that's going to mean. Everyone who wants to get rid of renewable energy will be campaigning to completely undermine the target. We now need to be out there tomorrow saying this is the opportunity to increase the target. We need to get to 100% renewable energy as quickly as possible. 20% by 2020 is not enough. We have now got the technology. It's right there in front of us. We need to increase the level of ambition, and particularly because Clean Energy Finance Corporation is going to fund large-scale projects. They are going to generate renewable energy certificates, and if they go into a renewable energy scheme which doesn't have expanded capacity, what they're going to do is drop the price. So this will squeeze out some of the technologies currently benefiting, and we can't allow that to happen. So we have to create more space. So the RET campaign from now to the end of the year is really, really important. The other campaign is the grid. I think if there's one thing that's really become obvious to me is the rules of the national electricity market and the way that the Australian electricity market operators work are completely contrary to the best interest of enabling the rollout of massive renewable energy and energy efficiency. So whilst the grid doesn't sound like a very heartwarming type of campaign, we have to make it so. Because in my view, you can put all this money that we're trying to in renewables, the renewable energy target, we can roll out a national energy efficiency scheme, but if we don't have a grid and a discussion about how we go to more distributed energy, for example, how we actually enable the grid to roll out as much as possible in the shortest possible time, it will be the major barrier and constraint to the rollout of the technologies. So in thinking about the campaigns you might run from now on, that whole issue is really very critical. I think the final point that I'd make is in terms of the solutions. And for those of you who've been watching some of the articles that David Spratt's been writing recently, it's really important. And that is, his critique is that by just talking about the solutions, it's making people feel good, say yes campaign, yes to carbon price, yes we all feel good about that, that's nice, but it doesn't connect people to the realities of climate change and then provide them with the solutions. And I would urge you to go and read that series of articles that are up on the net, because what the point he makes is you have to actually tell people how it is. They have to get a dose of climate reality about what is actually happening to them. Not just happening to the Great Barrier Reef, not just happening to the Coorong, not just happening to coral reefs and remote communities, but no, what is climate change going to do to you, what it has already cost you in terms of all those people impacted by extreme events and so on, and having named the problem, said it is affecting you, says it's going to affect your children, says it's going to affect you as a young person by 2050, then say, these are the solutions and we need to get onto it. But I think that connection of actually going out, it's a bit of the negative advertising with the positive advertising. Positive messages tend to be too pleasantly reinforcing. People have to be shocked out of their complacency before they'll open up to actually going somewhere. So finally, my final message is this. There are several specific campaigns that we need to run. But the key thing is you have to see it in the time frame between now and the 2013 election. We need a number of campaigns that are all designed to lift the level of ambition, lift the level of urgency, name the problem, take out the fossil fuel campaigns, and promote the positive solutions of 100% renewables and grid reform. If we got half a dozen of those campaigns running and people on the street, not just thinking it's about signing a petition online, that is a really good thing to do. I totally agree. Online campaigning is good, but we need people back on the streets. We need people at community meetings. We need people outside parliamentarians' offices. I think we need to get back to the campaigning that we know is visible in the community to actually link up the problems.